the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Here's a story we can only talk about on the podcast. It's out of Notre Dame University University of Notre Dame. And the headline is Mom Protests Leggings in Letter to Notre Dame Student Paper. She wrote an open letter to the college newspaper to share her concerns. So I'll read you some of this article here. It says, the article itself is really interesting to me. It says, what's the matter with leggings? That's what a group of student protesters are asking after a mom condemned leggings in an open letter to their college newspaper. The mom, identified as Mary Ann such and such, wrote a letter to the editor of The Observer, a student-run publication that serves the University of Notre Dame. In the letter, she argued that women and girls should not wear leggings because they're immodest and can attract unwanted male attention. She says, quote, I'm not trying to insult anyone or infringe upon anyone's rights. I'm just a Catholic mother of four sons with a problem that only girls can solve, leggings. She recalled attending church one day last year and seeing a group of young women wearing snug-fitting leggings and short tops. She said, I was ashamed for those young women at Mass. I thought of all the other men around us who couldn't help but notice them. I didn't want to see them, but they were unavoidable. How much more difficult for young guys to ignore them, she said. She implored young women to stop wearing tight-fitting leggings for the sake of their own safety and self-respect. And the quote is, I'm fretting because of unsavory guys who are looking at you creepily and nice guys who are doing everything to avoid looking at you. For the Catholic moms who want to find a blanket to lovingly cover you and protect you, and to find scarves to tie over the eyes of the sons to protect them from you. She added that while women do have every right to wear leggings, she thinks they should look into other options. Okay, so this started a big controversy. Within a day, a student-run nonprofit group, Irish for Reproductive Health, organized a Leggings Pride Day on March 26th in response to her message.
Leggings Pride.
The group invited people of all genders to post them photos of themselves wearing leggings on social media. We want to remind people that leggings are absolutely okay, and you're allowed to dress your body in whatever way you see fit, said the organizer. People have been sharing photos of their leggings on Facebook in solidarity. It's gone viral. It's hashtag Leggings Day. So everybody's joining in across the country. We want to reframe with our protest, reframe the conversation to make sure that this is not about women taking responsibility for making men not sin, but also making sure this doesn't fall into the rhetoric of survivors who are asking for it because that's what they're wearing, so on and so forth. And there's a lot of pictures of people like, here's my rear. hashtag,
yes.
Protest.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry.
Hashtag. Yeah. The thing that gets me about this, and we've talked about this a little bit, just so you know, and this goes on and on and on, by the way. I only read about half the article. It goes on about the protest, growing protest. We're taking a stand for this. Like, I don't agree with the mom, but let's think about this. She's a Catholic. Mm-hmm. She sent her kids to what's ostensibly a Catholic school, and she's saying, I don't get showing up to Mass wearing the leggings.
Right.
Okay. So that's a mom's opinion.
Yes.
And she signs her name to it. So can you imagine, like, I don't agree with what she's saying, actually. I would be like, well, your sons need to take responsibility for their thoughts. It's not that they can't notice them.
Right.
You can, but we're never tempted beyond what we can handle. And I know it seems unrealistic, but you can actually take thoughts captive, and there is hope for this. It's not hopeless.
Right.
So I would say to guys, no matter what a woman dresses like, it's still your responsibility, and to blame her is not okay. That said, this is a mom.
Yeah.
And she's going, I don't get why you're doing this. And she writes an open letter and signs her name to it. Can we imagine a universe in which this doesn't need a protest?
Yeah. But that's not the universe.
No, it's not the universe we live in. Like, yeah. So like, what is it about feeling even the slightest judgment would make you... And make you like, we have to reframe the conversation. Like, this was one mom who wrote a letter to the editor.
Right.
So
this isn't a counter protest. It's not like she drummed up all of this support and had a huge protest.
No.
And now you're countering it.
Right. Like, there's this huge outpouring of, you know, Taliban like. You have to, like, it's a mom who sent her boys, maybe naively, to a Catholic university.
Yeah.
And she has her idea of what's appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So again, don't agree with her take on it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But so what?
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be a gigantic protest again. Like, what's really going on there?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think maybe in our current autonomy culture, any hint or suggestion. Well, you know what? I can't even say that because there are other suggestions of what kind of cars to drive, what kind of
right.
this to do, what kind of that to do. And we seem to be okay with that. So I don't know. I was going to go down the road of in our autonomy culture, any suggestion that perhaps something may not be appropriate.
No, because we're all about suggesting.
Yes.
That.
So, yeah, that's what I mean. So now I don't know what that is.
So if you wear leggings
mm-hmm.
and there's a mom somewhere in Indiana or wherever she lives,
mm-hmm.
it just bothers you that she's thinking maybe you shouldn't. It really bothers you. That's what's interesting to me. Like, because to me, that gets back to this judgment thing. If you feel even slightly judged,
mm-hmm.
then there's this. Let's all form a group. So there's an ad hoc group
mm-hmm.
that throws itself together under a hashtag. And this is why, this is what people call mob mentality. It's uh-huh. like suddenly a mob happens.
Yes.
And we're irate. Because,
because
some mom
said.
In Richmond, Indiana, you know, sent her boys. And she's like, hey, you guys ought to.
You pose a fantastic question, Grant Hansen.
Thanks.
I'm trying to think through that. What is that? It is the judgment thing, I'm sure. But it is representative of something else. I'm just not sure what that is.
Yeah.
That would cause that kind of. Because, I mean, we're getting older now, so we can start using the phrase, I remember a time. I do remember a time where it would just be. There would be some pushback.
Yeah, you would follow up with another letter to the editor. Like,
yeah,
okay,
right,
hey,
right.
I heard Mrs. something. Like, well, I would tell her to tell her boys
yes.
to do this and that. Okay.
Yeah, and that would mm-hmm. be that.
That'd be interesting.
But
discussion.
The fact that we have to drum everybody
and here's
up
my rear.
Into, yeah.
Like, here's a, like.
Hashtag here's
because
my rear.
Someone somewhere out there might not approve. And that just try, and there's another facet to this, and I it's dangerous to talk about this a little bit because it opens up more. Even more potential
hashtag,
issues.
Hashtags.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Which is, can we look at a situation ever and go, I don't get her, I don't agree with her, but I don't agree with this reaction.
No.
No, we can't.
No.
Right. So it happened the other day in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy at Utah Jazz game, and mm-hmm. the Thunder were playing there.
Okay.
So Russell Westbrook is a very emotive player. Mm-hmm. I think he's the most entertaining player to watch.
Okay.
He just has such a tenacity about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's ferocious.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't always take the best shots.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not be the best teammate
mm-hmm.
to play with because he's got the ball a lot.
Right.
But man, is he entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, someone said something from the crowd, and we can't quite make it out, but it was said to have been racist.
Mm-hmm.
So that guy got booted forever
mm-hmm.
by the Utah Jazz people.
Okay.
But in the meantime, Russell Westbrook took it to be racist.
Okay.
And he said, I'm going to attack you
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to attack your wife too.
Okay.
She's sitting right there. He's like, I'm going to bleep you up.
Okay.
And I'm going to bleep up your wife and I'm going to.
Okay.
Now, so the people were like, either this Russell Westbrook should be booted mm-hmm. from the league for a year
yeah.
for threatening to beat up a woman
mm-hmm.
who didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Or this guy is solely to blame and Russell's totally justified.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why can't it be both you guys are out of line.
Mm-hmm.
Boot that guy forever from Utah Jazz game. It's a good start.
Yeah.
And Russell, you can't respond that way.
Mm-hmm.
Can't respond to actually physically attack a female fan
mm-hmm.
who's sitting there. Like, why can't we do that?
I don't know. But we can't.
We can't.
We
yeah.
cannot.
Nope.
It's not going to
be all
happen.
One or the other.
It is. It goes back to what you said about even politics. It's him all bad, him all good.
Right.
And so there is no space in our culture right now at all to say, yes, I like this person. They were probably wrong in doing that. Yes, I respect this group of people, but perhaps that action was not right.
Yeah.
No. If I say that action was wrong, oh, well, then you hate them.
Right. And honestly, people would look at, oh, well, you're just being middle of the road then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not middle of the road. I'm very opinionated.
Yeah.
I'm very opinionated about what that guy did as a fan.
Right.
And I'm opinionated about Russell Westbrook.
Right.
I mean, it's not middle of the road.
No.
I'm saying they're both wrong.
Yeah. No, you can't do that. We have set up camps.
You have to have your team.
We have set up, yes.
Team squad.
Tents. I had, I, I was considering doing the play again, and I had someone very lovingly say to me, it's not going to work anymore.
Oh.
And I, well, just, what, just, okay. And their, and their reasoning was, everyone's already has their camp. They've chosen already. And so now where you, there was a window where you could have your camp, but think about maybe we could do X, Y, Z, but that window has shut. This is their personal opinion. I'm not saying I agree, but they're saying that that window has shut and I have decided this is my team or that is my team. And that team is against my team. And that doesn't just have to be race. That's politics. That's everything. That everyone has decided what their team is. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be the person who is that. So you'll kind of, I don't want to say fake, but you'll kind of play into, why can't we just, but it really is still about your team. And that's just where we are. And I think overall, that's, I don't know how that changes. I really don't.
It's, well, okay.
I mean, I'm sure it can.
The point of doing a play like that.
Yeah.
Is you're already acknowledging that problem.
Yes.
So that's how you do it. You have to come, you have to sideways make people think differently about mm-hmm. something. And it's usually through the arts. Look mm-hmm. at how, look at how our culture has changed dramatically, largely because of the arts.
I agree.
Movies and plays and just mm-hmm. hammering. Like, it does change people's minds because it's a story.
Yeah.
Jesus tells stories that's designed to change people. Some people don't get it, of course. That's always been the case.
I agree.
But that's the whole point of doing a play like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you're right. If I come out and go, here's this story. What do y'all think about this?
Right.
Of course. On my team. On my team. You guys wrong. I'm right. Of course.
Yeah.
But if I tell a story, now I'm allowing both of you to experience the same story at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it may force you to flip-flop.
Yeah.
And now once you've flip-flopped, now you'll be more open.
Or even if it just forces you, which was always my intent, was it if, even if it just for a moment made you perceive the other quote-unquote team in a different way.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're forced to actually emotionally identify.
Yeah.
With somebody else.
That's right.
For a second.
Yeah.
But once you've done that, that's the reason you intuit, in my opinion, mm-hmm. that that's a really good thing is because it is a really good
yes.
thing.
Yes. I remember specifically when the girl that was getting engaged, she's a white character and obviously has some race problems. But I remember when she's talking about what flowers she wants at the wedding and she keeps saying roses or lilies. And the white pastor's not paying attention to her. And I remember a black woman in the audience yelling out, roses or lilies?
right.
And I remember thinking, that's the moment I want. Like,
right.
So she has transcended
right.
any racist thing she thinks about that character
right.
because she's connected to her on a human level.
Like, answer her.
Yes.
Even though she's a racist in the play.
Yes. But I've connected with that person.
Right.
Now I've seen some humanity.
Right.
And I think that opens your mind later. But I was just saying that the person who said, don't do it again because their window is closed, is because they're perceiving this kind of tribal thing that has always been here. And I think it just feels heightened because we get social media every day, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
You get to punch you in the face every morning.
It.
Yes. So it's not like I don't perceive it to be, wow, it's 1,000 times worse. I don't see it that way. It's just in our face all the time. And we're pushed, don't you think, to even pick sides even more because now you have social media, you have your little platform there of your 200 friends and you see, you know, 180 of them believe this way or whatever. And it starts pushing you to have that extreme.
And it's not just we need you to have this opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's we need you to be more emphatic.
Yeah.
About how you don't like the other team.
Yes.
Absent that, we don't know if we're still going to be on your team anymore because you're not
as vocal as we need you to be on this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That is vicious right now. I do think it's worse than usual because of social media, because mm-hmm. of what we're talking about with the Notre Dame leggings, hashtag Notre Dame leggings.
Like yeah.
Instant mob, instant battle
mm-hmm.
to your battle stations.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that wouldn't necessarily be so quick to happen
mm-hmm.
or so public.
Yes.
So now it's to your battle stations 24/7.
Mm-hmm. And because we ultimately, all of us, I believe this, crave attention. I believe wholeheartedly we're created for that because God knew he would give us that attention.
Yeah,
so in
that's
our,
right.
In our fallen condition, we still crave it.
Right.
That this plays into that. Yeah. I want to be seen as the person who does that. And so I rush to my hashtag.
And it's not just, it's just attention, it's significance.
Yes.
And again, like you're saying, so it's the substitute significance because God did make us to be significant.
Yes.
We are significant.
That's right.
If we would believe where it comes from, we wouldn't have this yearning need.
That's right.
That gets back to the why hashtag indie leggings, I feel judged business, like what we talk about even feeling slightly judged, you feel cursed.
Yeah.
And you're not made for that.
That's it. That's right.
You're made to be blessed. You're made to have some woman tell you, here's what I like about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so when she says, here's what I don't, it's that visceral reaction.
You.
Yeah.
And then you kind of leave behind maybe some decisions or not.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's
yeah, I think that is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're chased into one side or the other, because you want to be part of that group blessing, to have somebody tell you, way to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite.
Can
heart.
We ever create a group where that's not, where we can think for ourselves? As it was coming out, I knew how that was going to sound, and I couldn't take it back, so I apologize.
That was just so Monty Python. Remember Life of Brian?
Yeah.
It's just a big group of people if you haven't seen it. I don't recommend it, by the way.
No.
It's okay. Not for everybody. It is genius, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole crowd of people, and they're following the wrong guy. He's not the Messiah. He tries to convince them he's not.
Right.
It's this giant crowd. He comes out to greet them. They followed him into this wilderness house, you know, and he comes out and he's like, you know, you guys, you're all individuals. And they all repeat in unison, we're all individuals. It's like, you can all think for yourselves.
We can all think for ourselves.
Actually, when he does say, you're all individuals, after he does that, it's like, you're all individuals.
Right.
Like, we're all individuals. And one guy in the back is like, I'm not. It's so genius. I don't know how to be received. Again, I think people think it's milquetoasty when you talk about that. They're like, oh, you're picking the middle of the road. Well, if you're in the middle of the road, you get run over.
Yeah. Like, see, I told you, I have a friend who was for years and years and years a police officer, is retired early because he's our age, retired early, African-American male. And so there was an incident in Pittsburgh. And he was the only person I could think to talk to. Because everybody was so heightened on either side.
Right, go to your corner.
Yeah, and I said, Sheldon, can I just talk to you about this? And then I thought, is this a discussion that would benefit other people? And then I told him, I don't know that it will, because what they're going to want is for you to say something and they want me to say, and I'm not coming from that position. I'm asking you, what does it feel like for this? What does it feel like for that? Absent the uniform, have you ever felt this? Have you ever felt that? With the uniform,
right.
Do you feel, people don't want that discussion.
Not on the nose.
Not on the nose. Say, explain that to me.
Again, this is. I think it's the genius of your play.
It has
it's
to be
the genius of stories.
Yeah.
I mean,
this
is the reason why Jesus is telling these stories into this hotly polarized environment between zealots and Sadducees and Pharisees and Roman sympathizers and publicans and good Jews and people who weren't so, you know, like all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Samaritans.
Yeah.
So everybody's got all of these heightened opinions. And then
here he comes. There once was a man.
He tells a story. And at least, what do you do?
That's true.
But if you're doing it on the nose, they're not going to listen.
You're inviting argument, aren't you?
Well, you will. But it could be the best intentions.
Yeah.
But we know what humans are like now, right? Like they just don't.
Yep.
And so, well, should we pay our taxes or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, well, here's a coin. And then he's like, basically he says, give to God what his image is on.
Yeah.
And flips the coin to him. I imagine that anyway.
Yeah.
Here's your coin.
And then, whoa. Yeah.
But he didn't answer it on the nose.
Good point. He did it in a way that all of those different factions would actually end up talking to each other. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
like, was he?
Yeah,
okay,
that
so
crazy.
That point. That's a great point. That is a very good point.
Truly. So you're right. I think if you think in terms of this is the way humans think.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a kingdom idea here, then we're not necessarily going to say the easiest thing in the world for me or you is to go on talk radio and make money.
Yeah. That's
true.
You know how rich we would be.
We just feel like this isn't this isn't the kingdom, though. Yeah. It wasn't what I wanted to.
Yeah.
This is just me scoring points.
Yeah.
I'm scoring a lot of points.
I was going to say we'd be pretty wealthy. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, wow. Oh, my gosh. Putting up points nonstop. Taking it to the hole. We can't do anything about
that scoreboard. Just ding, ding, ding. Two,
like
three.
Like Papa Shot. Three. Ding, 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 ding.
They're on fire.
Incredible.
Three.
Just because,
three,
like, the
three,
string of
three.
Tickets coming out of the skee ball thing. It's like, oh my gosh. Got 40 million tickets. I can buy a spider ring. That kind of thing.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.